designpickle.com/church. Listen, friends, we've talked about this before. We want you to check out Design Pickle. It is a full-time professional designer for only $277 a month for the first month when you use the special code at designpickle.com/church. It's unlimited on-demand graphic design service. You really are going to want to check it out. Lots of churches are using it. And if you go to that page, actually, there's a whole bunch of graphics you can download for free just because Design Pickle loves churches like yours. So we'd love for you to check it out. It's an incredible service.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host here, and I am so honored that you would put us in your eardrums today. I think you're going to be challenged by today's interview. We've got something that is just a little bit different. I'm super excited to have Bryce Baldwin with us. He's from Rome Alliance Church. This church is doing some really innovative stuff, and I wanted to get him on to talk about outreach. You know, one of the things we talk about here a lot at Unseminary is how do we make an impact into the community, and this church is doing something pretty unique. They've started the Rome Community Job Fairs, which is all about providing practical needs into the community. So I'm excited to kind of jump in and hear about that today. But Bryce, welcome to the show. Why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about the church? Tell us about Rome Alliance. If people were a lot to come today, what would they experience? Give us a bit of the history, that sort of thing.
Sure, yeah. But interesting enough, I actually grew up here at this church.
Oh, nice.
So it's not too often that you come back to your home church and lead it. And right. I've been back for about 3 years.
Totally.
Rome Alliance Church is a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. Mm-hmm. But then the church was founded back in 1915. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're looking for someone younger to come and lead them to the next place, next generation. Mm-hmm. And today when you'd walk in, the one of the greatest things I would say about our church is you find people from birth to age 93 in our church.
Oh, very cool.
The generations are here.
Yep.
But yet we've done things in such a way to draw the next generation, and we've set things up to kind of really be, I guess, for the mix between like a traditional setting but also a missional mindset as well.
Very cool. So if people, what are kind of your weekend services like? What's that? You know, I'm trying to give people a sense of kind of a flavor of the church. What is that?
You know, yeah. Like? Sure. Yeah, we do, you know, we have a, whatever you want to call it nowadays, you know, modern, whatever, music, you know, we have a, you know, a worship team that plays, and we try to do different things depending on whatever the weekend has for us. We try to be open to whatever God has for us. But whatever we do, we want to make it practical, impacting, mm-hmm. you know, life relevant. And I think that, you know, our church is known for its love. And so we have a lot of people from all walks of life coming here. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really is that family atmosphere. The one biggest thing that we did make of a change was we do our we call them Sunday morning rhythms. Mm-hmm. And so the first and third Sunday of each month after the service, we have small groups for our young families.
Okay,
we have
cool.
adult Sunday school. The second Sunday of the month, all we do is we serve as a church after the Sunday morning service. So we send groups out to actually other churches to help serve in their children's mm-hmm. ministry. We do stuff for the local rescue mission. So again, we call it age 2 to 92. They can serve.
Very cool.
The fourth Sunday of the month after the Sunday morning service, all we do is we eat together, kind of the whole idea of biblical hospitality. And so we try to not look at just Sunday morning as just come and come for a, you know, an hour and a half service, but kind of come for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Come and worship together, then serve together. Come
That's
worship
really
together,
cool.
then come eat together. And so we try to do those different things to be the different display of the God, of the kingdom of God. Plus, you know how it is on Sundays. It really is a captured time where we all can do things together. So rather mm-hmm. than asking people to come and serve an extra time, mm-hmm. come and worship, and let's go serve together as well.
Very cool. Well, let's jump in and hear a little bit about Rome Community Job Fair. So this was something you launched. Why don't you give us kind of what were you thinking about before you launched this? What was the problem that you were trying to solve?
Well, I feel like always, I think a lot of times when we talk about outreach, we kind of just throw an event there and throw an event there. And a lot of times it's like we just throw events and just hope people come to those things
right.
rather than just really saying, okay, what does our community need? Mm-hmm. And then how can we be a part of that? Not as just like the odd stepchild, but really mm-hmm. like if we were just any old person, business, whatever it looks like, that we would be an influence in our community. And so the Lord just kept on putting on my heart this idea of jobs, and I had no idea what that really looked like. And I had only been to one job fair my whole life before this. Right. And but we had somebody in our district office, she used to work career services for 16 years. And so she kind of helped me launch this idea. And I said, and for some reason, the odd idea jumped in my mind and says, well, what about a job fair? And so I took it to her, and she's like, yeah, why not? Why not a job fair? And so, yeah, that's kind of really how it got started. And our first ever job fair we held back in April of 2015. I just started asking people in our church who were employers or owned their business, and so we automatically had a couple people ready to go. And then I started going to other job fairs in the area to see what they did, but then also reverse recruit at those job fairs.
Right.
And so the first ever fair that we did, in my mind, I was hoping that we would have like, okay, if we have six employers and like 30 people come, it's a success, right? In my mind. The first ever job fair we did, we had 24 employers and 200 people walk through the doors of our church. Goodness.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so that was kind of that's kind of how it all got started, realistically. And then just we're like, wow, I think we're onto something.
Okay.
And then I always say, like, the one of the most basic rhythms in someone's life is that they look for work.
Right.
Like, you know, so how do we come alongside people and what they're already doing, right? Not just throwing an extra event to a schedule, but this is something that people are already doing in life. And so all we're doing is providing a platform to just come alongside them, you know what I mean, in a relevant way for them. Yeah,
that's very cool. So now give me a sense. So people who haven't been to job fairs, which I admit I'd never been to a job fair, kind of give us a sense of what happens at it. And so I get a sense of, like, obviously there's employers there. Are you doing this at the church building? Are you renting a spot externally? All of that kind of give us a sense of what it looks like.
Well, when we first started kind of doing them at the church. We still do ones at the church, but now we've actually built such a reputation in the community. We've done some other ones I can share with you about. Someone just comes to the church, and we try to do things a little bit differently. We put people at every point of contact. So we have people in the parking lot. We got people at registration. We have people walking people down to make connections with people if they want that thing. We have an application room set up. So basically it's almost like any other fair you've ever been to, where it's like a trade show or like a health expo or anything like that. All there is tables and chairs of employers upon employers. And all you do is you walk around and you talk to the employers. And so some employers will have applications, people make them fill it out online. But really the big barrier is that we're just trying to connect job seekers and employers face to face. It's really like almost like a laid back environment. It's just kind of like there's a bunch of employers. It's set up in order, like a nice flow to the rhythm of it and stuff. But we've done a lot of them at our church. Our biggest one we've done at our church is we've had 36 employers here at our church. We've done like a downstairs and an upstairs feel to it as well. But we've also branched out. We're doing two at another church in a local community. But then we also did one 2 weeks ago actually at Applebee's. So again, it's just a laid back environment, and we have like six employers there during a lunch hour. But it's the same concept that employers just kind of set up. You know, the funny thing is that you can actually come to the job fair and walk home with more gear than you'd ever realize in your entire life. Umbrellas and pens and, you know, the gadgets that these people give away is incredible. Yes. So that's really kind of how it works. And so all we do is we provide the platform and we set up the tables and chairs. We provide the lunch for the employers and our church people who serve. You know, we set up the application room, and it really kind of runs itself, to be honest with you. And then all we try to do is be relational through it.
So now, do you have any stories from, say, an employer's point of view where they're like maybe some feedback they've given you? Obviously this is working because they keep coming back, so they're obviously interested. Can you give us a sense of what is that, what's a typical kind of employer, and then what's worked for them?
What do you mean by typical kind
of
employer?
Well, like who, you know, so you started with employers that are obviously connected to your church, and then you've kind of expanded beyond that.
Oh, sure.
How did you find those employers? And then what, maybe if there's a story about how, you know, it's worked for them to try to recruit some staff. If somebody's raved about, like, wow, this has been so good for us. Every time you host, I'm coming, that kind of thing.
There's some truth to that. Well, like I said, I went to other job fairs and just started talking to people. And so we have anybody from the mom and pop who's hiring one person to like a Bank of America, you know, who's like, they never can hire enough people, you know. We have call centers, Alorica. We have like the local hospitals that will come and things like that. It's a good mix. So if you're entry level, you can find a job at a pizza shop or a local retail business, or if you have a master's degree, we try to get in those companies to come as well. But that is the crazy thing about this is that there is a lot of other, not tons, but, you know, like the local community college and a couple of the other colleges will host job fairs. Yep. And there'll be some random ones here and there, but nothing like we're doing. Yeah. So like even like I can remember the guy from Bank of America, again, very corporate.
Yeah.
He was like, this was one of the best run job fairs I've ever seen in my 10 years of doing job fairs.
Interesting.
And obviously, again, that's just God's favor on us. Right. And just kind of like our guerrilla marketing technique of getting, because we do, we're recruiting job employers,
yes,
but then we're hitting the streets recruiting job seekers as well. So right. Like there'll be days where as a church, we'll go into the community, just pass out flyers to people, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then obviously Facebook ads and things like that have been our biggest success. But yeah, the employers are really like blown away by like the amount of people that come,
right.
But also the diversity of people that come through the doors as well. And so most employers say they'll hire anybody between one in three job seekers that day to a
mm-hmm.
position.
Mm-hmm. Very yeah. cool. That's really cool. Well, that's obviously that the word gets out there for people who are looking for jobs. They know, hey, when I go to one of those, there's people actually hiring, you know, they want to show up and find that. Now, what impact has it had on the church? So I knew at some point, you know, I was going to ask the cynical question, like, yeah, that's great. But how has this actually helped Rome Alliance Church? I obviously understand it's been, you know, you've founded a separate 501c3, which I'd love to talk about that. But how is it, what impact is it having on the church?
Yeah. Well, even to give you a story, the last 2 weeks,
yep.
We met a lady at this Applebee's, yep. One that we just did. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to her about who we were and kind of, you know, this thing that we've did out of our church. And she goes, really, I'm looking for a church. And and I said, why don't you come check us out? You know, we'd love to have you. And so she actually came to church this past Sunday. She came up front for prayer at the end, received prayer. We've actually had one or two people actually get saved through it as well. We actually had somebody in our church that owns a business hire someone, brought that person back to church. And so it's really cool. The person was like, yeah, the last time I was here for a job fair, you mm-hmm. know, but now I'm coming to church. And she gave her life to Christ that day as well. So I think that's one of the big pieces. So we've seen probably several people. We also have people come and visit the church mm-hmm. and they're like, well, we had a friend come to the job fair and say how friendly and loving your church people are.
Cool.
And so that was part of it. And then the other way when it's, you spin it around, people at our church tell like they're either people in town or friends in town where they go to church, and people, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, you're the church that does the job fairs.
So that's cool.
So like one of the big things I think is like the reputation. And so I have one of my mentors says like a lot of people don't think the church is relevant for anything. And so the beginning process of just saying the church is relevant. And if you think about it, you know, our church is 200, 225 people. Mm-hmm. But I mean, our church has such a, you know, you think about that in the scope of like what gift sets and talents and things that 200 people bring to the table is unbelievable
right.
than most organizations can offer, really. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so when you say what our church has, I mean, we have like CFOs in our church and, you know, our former CFOs, we have business owners in our church, but we also have the hardworking blue collar people.
Right.
But when you bring those people together, it's like, it's crazy what those people can accomplish. And so it's just like saying like, we're bringing those skill sets. And so people are seeing that like, our church has something to offer you besides just a morning service.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. really we're saying, and we're like, we care about your full experience of life,
yep.
not just your spiritual side,
yep.
but we care if you have a job. And so that's really starting to change the reputation. But we also, again, are seeing people come to church. We're almost probably up to 8 to 10 people that have actually yep. come to church or started coming to church. But even a guy who's a local pizza manager, mm-hmm. he's come to church 3 times. Mm-hmm. First time he came to church because of this. Mm-hmm. He was one of the employers. I said, what'd you think? He goes, well, I loved it. He goes, this is the first time I've been to church in 14 years.
Mm.
And so, you know, as we know, it always goes back to one relationship, one mm-hmm. person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's obviously those multiple levels of, yes, there are actually people. We actually have seen people come to church.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people get saved.
Yep.
We also see our reputation in the community being changed.
Yeah. So the thing I love about this, it kind of caught my attention. Two things. I think growing churches are looking for places to really get more volunteers engaged. And so they're looking for ways to how do we actually get people plugged into serving? And I love this because it's like a whole new area to serve. It's like, and actually, you said it earlier, it's like, you know, we have people in the parking lot, we have people at the stairs, we have people, you know, all over the place. which would, I would imagine that's why those, you know, employers are saying this is the best run thing I've ever been to, because there's so many people, where normally if it's like the Chamber of Commerce or whatever, they've got like, it's like one guy trying to run the whole thing, as opposed to churches. They're like, we want to get more people involved. And the other thing that kind of captured my imagination a little bit, the Willow Creek Reveal study, which I realize is whatever, 10 plus years old. One of the things they said in there that, you know, kind of distinguished churches that are making a difference in people's lives long term is the leaders in those churches saw themselves really as community leaders. They were people that were trying to connect the external community to the church, that actually you see yourself, there's kind of the parish pastoral mindset there. And the thing I love about this is a really practical outworking of that. It's like, hey, it's the church, it's you really functionally being a leader within the community and seen as, hey, it's great that you're rubbing shoulders with the pizza guy and also the Bank America guy. And that over the long haul, I'm just convinced that will pay dividends you know, for your church. So now you started a separate 501c3. Tell me about that. Why did you do that? What did that whole process look like?
So we started a separate 501c3 because we've made it like a non-religious 501c3, which will help us in the sense of getting some grants and things like that. We also did it because of just kind of like, you know, just like the structure of things to get sponsorships and to get different things like that. But then we also, what we've done, which is another cool thing, is we've actually hired someone from our church congregation to be on staff with that organization. Cool. So now we've actually provided an employment situation for someone in our own church. And so we have a lady who works like basically 20 hours a week for us as well, now she can take what we've started and kind of do things to the next level. She can go meet with local people for coffee, where I can't do it every single time. Or sometimes I can get out there and do it.
Right.
But, you know, obviously you're leading a church, but now you're kind of like helping to equip somebody else to do it. And so from that position, we've been able to, like, you know, people can separate. It's a total, you know, total separate thing. And then I think it just gives it more kind of leverage when people like see it, because there is kind of that connotation sometimes. And we've literally had people say, well, it's a church. How good can it really be? And so, but one of the best things though is when other people who don't even go to your church in your community stand up for it and say, this is awesome what they're doing and things like that. So that's kind of one of the main reasons that we did, to kind of keep that separate from the, you know, kind of that thing, but also from like the grants and different things like that. We can really go after it from just like a normal like business, you know, aspect. But also I think when we look at, especially like what a lot of other missionaries and whatever you all call them overseas are doing, it's really business as mission. And so we kind of really wanted to set it up with that mindset. And I think a lot of times we continue a lot of times to think small. We think like, well, we'll just host these and like, why not set? If like one of our goals of our mayor in our city is to have new businesses come in. Why can't we be a new business? Why can't the church be the new business? Why can't, you know, the church be leading the charge on those type of things? Because again, you know, everything that we do is obviously out of a redemptive framework. And so we want that to be the leading charge. And so that's kind of the main reason, is being able to pay the staff and to kind of do the grants and different things like that. But also just from a sense of like, people look at us and they say, this is a real business.
Right. Yeah. That's really cool. The thing, there's a lot I love about this. One of the things that I love about it is, you know, you've taken a real practical need in your community and you've said, hey, how can we help with that? Which, you know, the church has done, like you've said, and you reference, obviously, the Christian Missionary Alliance has a very strong, you know, missions emphasis around the world. And all over the world, people are asking that question. Churches are asking that, particularly in unreached communities around, you know, hey, what's a practical need we can meet? And then through those relationships, ultimately, you know, connect people with Christ. And I just think it's amazing. It's great that you're leveraging the same sort of thing in our community. So give us a sense of kind of the scale and scope. How many of these have you done? Like, is this a once a year thing? What does that look like? And, you know, the sense of people through and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, we're still kind of figuring out like our rhythms, kind of like how does this work best? And so we want to do things that work well. So we host two big ones at our church every April and every September. We host big ones, just all out, any employer, you know what I mean, anything like that. The other thing we actually have started doing is when we first started doing this, we didn't charge the employers anything, but now we charge them $25, which for them is nothing.
Right.
But we've also found that for them, it's some buy-in. A lot of times they, you know, maybe would not show up, but also they take it more serious when there's a charge. But the other thing we also found is that you know, these people have money in their budget for those things as well. So we want them to use it on us. So we do that. We do, but now we're actually finding another rhythm of hosting two a year, mm-hmm. actually in the next community over, which is really a relationship we've built with another church, which helps springboard them. Really cool. And then we've actually found that a nursing job fair has been really successful. Hmm. So we've in our area, there's so many open nursing positions that they can't fill them all.
Right.
And so we found that to be a really successful tool as well. And then we're just doing some of the other unique ones, like the Applebee's one we did a couple weeks ago, and different things like that. And so rather than just trying to be something that's just offering 8,000 job fairs, which we kind of had in mind at first, mm-hmm. we want to just host like a couple a year, mm-hmm. but just do those like really well. And so we have some just like some dreams and visions of how to do the ones we're doing now, mm-hmm. but how to do them even better. And so mm-hmm. just having a greater impact on a shorter amount of time. So it's kind of how we are kind of doing it as well. We're also doing some things for employers coming up. We're doing like an employer think tank, kind of like how do you like, you know, talk as like an HR person, getting them all in the same room. And so doing some things on that as well. But because we've actually found, to be honest, we found that some of our greatest relationships aren't with the job seekers, but they're with the HR people because they're consistent. A couple of them have come to like every single job fair.
Right.
So, you know, we'll grab a coffee with them and they'll be like, well, why are you guys doing this again? You know, well, thanks for asking.
Yes.
We actually had the opportunity to share the gospel with some of them around just sharing coffee on an outside time and things like that.
Right. So, very cool. Yeah. Now, you said earlier, you passed over it, which is fine. I want to come back to it. You talked about part of the way that you've been able to attract people is through kind of an aggressive use of or a strategic use of Facebook ads. I wonder if there's a lot here. We could do a whole episode just on Facebook ads. I know that. But if you want to give kind of an overview to people, give us a sense of the strategy you're using there and what kind of results are you seeing? How are you leveraging Facebook? Obviously, it's almost ideally suited for this sort of thing. Locally targeted, relationally, you know, you can drill down even to, you know, job seeker kind of, you know, audiences. And so give us a sense of what's that look like for this?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we don't spend, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I don't have the money to spend on that. We'll spend maybe $20 to $30.
Right.
And there's literally one time we spent $30 and 30,000 people saw it, which for our community, so where we live, Rome is a city of 32,000 people. Yep. So, yeah, we just kind of put like who's coming, and we kind of found that like if you put like some immediate takeaways from people like, oh, come get an interview or come get, you know, this, like, here's who's going to be here this short amount of time, you know, and then, you know, usually people share it, you know, that's kind of what you're hoping for is obviously people to share it, the more people will see it. And so usually more people see it through the shares than they see through the ad. So we, you know, usually we'll spend like $20-$25 per fair on a sponsored ad. Yep. And a lot of times, we will target it very small. We'll go right to our community, you know, and the interesting thing is next, you know, we're always finding new ways to kind of who we're going to target, you know, those type of things. We find that women will share it a lot more than men will. And so just different things like that we're looking for. And then also the other thing is just knowing your local Facebook community. Mm-hmm. Like, so for us, there's a couple local Facebook groups like called Peoples and Places of Rome that has like 15,000 members in it. And so like making sure like once we put that sponsored ad, we're sharing those sponsored ads to those specific locations as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, besides that, I mean, there's not really much to, you know, there's always kind of figuring out like what kind of thing you put with it. But I mean, outside of that, like, I don't think churches should overthink it. I think it's kind of one of those things that you should try to just try it. You know what I mean? If you have a church Facebook page, just do something for like $10. But the other thing that people don't realize, again, a lot of times is that when you post something from your Facebook page, most people that even like your page don't see it.
Right.
You know, it goes off the algorithm. So sometimes even if you want everybody who likes your page, so sometimes we'll do that. Sometimes we'll do a sponsored ad and we'll make sure it says people who like this page. Mm-hmm. And that way, at least everybody on your, you know, people who like your page or people who like this page and their friends. And so just kind of some of those details of kind of who you're in your mind, you're trying to target, you know, we're looking to really expand or we're looking, trying to hone in for the people that you've already have made a connection with and kind of those type of ideas, you know. And then if you don't know what you're doing, either reach out to someone or maybe ask someone in your congregation that may have a better handle of kind of figuring it out, you know?
Yeah, that's good. And just to underline one thing you said there that I've seen not only in our church, but just in other churches, that's kind of a bit of a pro tip is your community probably already has at least one, if not two or three, of very active Facebook groups that are, you know, it could be like a buy and sell thing. It could be like, you know, you're from Rome, New York, when, you know, there are those kinds of groups out there that if you just poke around a bit on Facebook, you'll, and again, you've got to have good etiquette on there. You've got to build relationships. It's like anything else, you know, you've got to first good thing to do is just lurk and kind of learn what's actually happening here, and then, you know, share a lot of stuff and engage. And then over time, you know, you can gain influence on those, and they really can be just an amazing, you know, amazing piece of the puzzle, for sure. So anything else you want to share before we pivot into, the lightning round?
I mean, I think the only last thing would be that one of the cool things that have come out of this is actually the last mayor we had in our city actually appointed me to the Civil Service Commission for City Hall. So there's a 3-person board that oversees all the civil service employment for our city. So that's like they saw what we were doing. So again, it's just that next step of like, you know, connection in the community, I guess, with employment as well. So just something that's, I guess, a cool thing that's come out of it, that even the city has seen it as something as valuable. And then from there, it said, hey, we'd love to have you a part of what we have going on here at City Hall as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. You'd said earlier that the mayor is trying to encourage business, is trying to get people, you know, into community. And it's important for church leaders to listen to the civic leaders and understand what is it that they're trying to do and find some overlap. Because you can, and I've seen that in our own church, that as we've gone to the mayors and said like, hey, how can we help you? Or what is it you're working on that we can provide assistance to? That opens up all kinds of doors. That brings all kinds of opportunity for the church to make a difference, to be, you know, a community leader, which is really what we're hoping to be. So yeah, that's amazing. This has been great.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
We're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we cover similar questions of everybody that's on the show. I really enjoyed today's conversation with Pastor Bryce from Rome Alliance Church. Bryce is the lead pastor there, and it's been a great conversation today. Bryce, what is an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you out in your ministry?
Well, we did kind of talk about it. I actually just put Facebook because I think that's been huge, not only for that, but like we've started some new things even from our church Facebook page. We call them 1-minute moments, but we're highlighting someone's story every single week. And so getting people's stories out to the community of changed lives and things like that. So Facebook for us has been huge. You know, I've been trying to like shrink down the amount of like gadgets and things I use. So trying to
have less online tools.
Correct. Yeah, so, but for me, that's been honestly like one of our major tools. We've even just trying to tweak our Facebook Live that we host our service on. Mm-hmm. And we've actually had people start coming to church because they saw us on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
So, yeah. Now,
so just how many people attend Rome Alliance on a typical Sunday? What's that normally?
We're at usually like a 150, 160.
Yes. So the thing I want to encourage you, folks that are listening in, I figured it was somewhere in that range. You really should check out Rome Alliance's Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Rome Alliance. And the 1-minute kind of, stories, messages that are on there, 1-minute moments are really amazing particularly for a church of your size. I hope I can say that, you know, without, I'm not trying to dog your church.
No, it's fine.
But, you know, they're really well done. And the thing that sticks out to me is, you know, here's a church that's leveraging this tool, and, you know, you're not a mega church. You're not this like massive, you know, you've figured out, okay, here's a couple things we could do. And like you say, you know, I think you do a really good job, for a church of any size, let alone a church of, you know, your size. So I'd encourage people to check that out. What's a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
Yeah, I think The Eighth Letter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever, it's by Mark Barnard. It's about the 7 letters to the church in Revelation. And the 8th letter would be the church to what Jesus would write to your church. But one of the biggest things from that book that's shaping my thinking is that we come to a realization sometimes that we think about church in such an individual way.
Right.
We think about church engagement as individual, but I don't think we really truly understand the idea of corporate and how there's a quote, I think it's from Martin Luther. He says there's no such thing as Christianity apart from the church, and that you can't have like a personal walk with Jesus but not have a personal walk with the church. And so it's kind of like it's like this. It's together. And so that's been a huge shaping of my thinking of like, what does it really look like to do church together and not make decisions off of how we like it, I like it, or things like that, but it's us. It's all of us. And it's really shaped my thinking through that corporate that corporate sense of that's really been, I guess, even the last 2 years, God's been shaping my thinking so much of how church is the body of people that, even locally, you know what I mean? But even when we take a step back, we always think of things so individualistic. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. So, Very cool. What's another ministry you're looking to that's inspiring you these days?
Well, you know, again, I've been you know, the last year I've been actually doing coaching. So that's kind of what I put for my ministry is a guy who I've been doing coaching with, David Bartels out of the River Foundation out of Seattle. I say that because, again, I'm trying to really put my focus on – sometimes I'll listen to a sermon here, a podcast there. But once a week I'm usually grabbing an hour on the phone with this guy. And he's been a huge help to shaping the way I think about ministry and bringing others along in ministry. Because a lot of times as pastors, it's like, here's what we're doing, or, you know, here's what we're doing, what are your thoughts? But also, but getting people to discover things, getting people here to hear the voice of God, getting people to see that God actually does the things that he says he does in the Bible and stuff like that. So he's giving a lot of things. So we've been working this past year on strategic vision at our church, kind of the who are we, where are we going type stuff. So I'm just going to shout out to him because he's been a huge blessing to me. And really, he is a ministry. It's all he does is coaching. So it really does identify with that.
Very cool. Yeah. If you could, you know, 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would that be and why?
Mike Krzyzewski. I think there's a lot of leaders I would like to spend time with. I'm a huge Duke fan, number one. Huge Duke fan. But number two, when you look at him, he's had longevity, which is something to look at. He, number two, he's got to be good with people, has to be. So I would love to sit down and hear, like, what is your strategy to work with people? Because in ministry or anything, it's working with people, figuring people out. The second thing is, not in this era, because this era is a little bit different, because now the era is like the one and done. And so he's getting, he's kind of worked to that era of basketball. But in the past, guys like Christian Laettner, guys like Bobby Hurley, they said a lot of those guys never got any better in the NBA because Coach K got the best out of them in college. And so what did you do to do that? What did you do to get the best out of that person that you could get? You know, and you could see on multiple levels when he coaches at the national level, doing like the NBA stuff that he does with like the national teams, but even the college teams, you never hear people speaking poorly of him. And so he's got to be doing something correctly. And so just to sit down and say, what did you do with people? Like, you know, it's a different mindset. Like a lot of times we do talk with people in ministry, but hearing from that aspect, and a lot of times ministry and coaching are, go kind of hand in hand in the set, you know, in a lot of ways. So
that's very cool. That's great. Well, I know being a lead pastor is just, it's, you're running all the time, heading a million directions. When you just want to kick back, relax, have some fun, what do you do for fun?
For me, it's either watching sports or coaching sports. So I still, I coach local high school sports here in the area as well. And then, you know, if I can watch a game, usually if it's college basketball or NFL or college football, that's like my hobby. Like I'm not the type of guy who's going to go tinker in the garage or like go hunting or do anything like that. Just sit down and like watch a football game. And sometimes my wife can't figure out how I could like literally like sit down, watch football from like noon to like midnight. She can't figure that out. But for me, that's like that's like relaxing. That's kind of like, for me, that's like, that's golden.
Nice. Bryce, I really appreciate being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church or with the community job fairs, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can, you know, they can either just, they can probably just go to our church website and contact, just send a contact through the link right there. It'll come right to my email address rather than trying to give out a bunch of things, www.romealliancechurch.org, or they really can go to romejobfairs.org as well. Either one of those ways they can contact us, or either through one of our Facebook pages, the Rome Alliance Church or the Rome Community Job Fairs Facebook page, I'll get those messages as well. So those are kind of the easiest ways. And if anybody has any other questions or any other idea ways to do this, there actually are some other other national places out there in the America that are kind of helping churches to do job fairs as well. So love to continue a conversation with anybody on this.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate being on the show today. Thanks so much for taking time out.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.